why don't we just start with a simple chorus? Kind of inspired me in the song idea. And this was kind of on my heart, and I don't know if everybody knows it. It's very simple if you don't know it. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Because I know that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And sometimes we have to remember that when we're in places that are not traditionally where we might sing an anthem to the Lord like that. And I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you today before we actually go to prayer. Sometimes you go to prayer meetings where it's mostly talk and not prayer, and I know all of us have prayer needs, and so I would like to address all of those personal prayer needs. And I do want to also preface that by saying that anything that we do share here as prayer needs are confidential amongst us. If you choose to say something about yourself somewhere else, that's up to you, of course, but prayer meetings are supposed to be prayerful and let the Lord work his ways with us and not make us feel uncomfortable that we're sharing things that become front page news. But I wanted to...
This is a prayer group for reps.
This is what?
Prayer group for reps.
Okay.
It's not a...
Thanks.
Take care.
That I wanted to address you as I have believed for years that you are Christian statesmen. You're Christian statesmen and legislators. And there's a passage of Scripture that I believe the Lord laid on my heart to share with you, because I think after the 20 years that I've been coming up here doing prayer and chaplaincy and so forth and working with many people, I know how discouraging it can become. And I have also heard some of the things that have been said. And thank you, Representative Itza, Dan, for gathering the folks together and getting that out. And this is certainly not the only time we'll do this. Whenever we need to and whenever we want to and whenever we can. And I also want to make known to all of you and anyone else that if you need to talk to somebody confidentially who has more of an understanding than the usual pastor does for what legislators go through, and that's not an insult to any pastor. I mean, it's just many of them just don't know what happens up here. They haven't spent time up here. I am available, and I would certainly be willing to pray with you individually or come and meet you or whatever to help, because what you're doing is so critically important. I want to read a passage of Scripture that comes from the 6th chapter of the Galatians, the book of Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now this is the main focus of this particular verse that I'm about to share with you, that I think that the Lord laid on my heart to exhort you and encourage you with. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let me read it again. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That passage of Scripture in that particular verse that I read a couple of times there, verse 9, there are two parts to it, really, I would suggest. And one of them is that, first of all, it's up to us not to be weary. We kind of all have to pace ourselves, just like what we were talking about, trying to get some sleep at night and things like that. We do the pacing. As far as the due season, that's not up to us. The due season is up to the Lord. And of course, if we're sowing, as verse 7 says, God's not mocked. Whatever that we're reaping, just because we've sown something or someone else has sown something that's good. And I would suggest to you, and I'm on radio broadcasts all over the country all the time, I have coined a phrase recently, as goes New Hampshire, so goes the nation. Isn't that amazing? Because most people say, as goes California, so goes the nation. But the Lord is doing something amongst you in this part of our country, in this small state of New Hampshire, that people all over the country are asking me about. I'll be on a program and they'll say, what's going on in New Hampshire? We just read that such and such happened and you had a supermajority and overturned the governor's veto and you know, defunding Planned Parenthood and all these other kind of things. I mean, it's been going out across the country. And so we are achieving something that I think pleases the Lord. There's also another couple of verses that I think state very well how important it is for us to continue on to do what we know is right, even when it's difficult. And of course, we know sometimes it is. In Psalm chapter 37, at verse 1, Psalm 37 at verse 1, sometimes we're watching what other people are doing and we're wondering, how come they get away with some of this stuff? So it says in Psalm 37 verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And Lord knows, as much as I hate to say it, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, that there are a lot of evildoers up here. But we are exhorted by Scripture from the Lord Himself not to fret over them and not to be envious of the workers of iniquity that seem to get away with a lot of stuff that we're saying, how did they get away with that? Can't believe they got away with that. For the Lord tells us in verse 3 of that same psalm, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And I am believing that you are part, and this is probably going to be a little bit shocking to you, because it's mostly usually said in churches. We need a third great awakening. Well, I want to tell you something. There is a third great awakening happening in this country right now. And part of it's happening here in New Hampshire, and you men that are sitting in this room right now, you're part of it. You're part of that third great awakening. And so, I'm not really one for a whole lot of truisms necessarily, or a little triteism I meant to say. Winners don't quit. And quitters don't win. So we have to continue to press on the things that the Lord has opened up for us in the days to come, not knowing what the result is, but the Lord has told us, if we won't be weary in well-doing, in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now the question, I guess, is, well, why does the Lord have to tell us that? Because, hey, all of us get weary in well-doing. And because many of us are tempted to faint. But the Lord says, no, you hold on. I'm not going to say that he's one of my favorites from the War for American Independence, but there's a lot of what you are doing today, I think, it reminds me a lot about what was going on during the War for American Independence. Many of the challenges of that day, I think, are very similar to the challenges of today. And in the American Crisis, number one, in 1776, Thomas Paine said, these are the times that try men's souls. Can anybody here say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. And you will receive that. If you haven't already, you will receive that. He also said that liberty isn't easy. He said it requires personal responsibility and personal accountability. He said, those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Hey, do you think this man knew what he was talking about? Yeah, I think he did. And of course, Benjamin Franklin said, those who give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Right? And we know that you've given up quite a number of things.
Well, we just can't.
Would you believe that we just heard this statement?
Really?
Chairman, Chairwoman, and Madam Chair in a committee hearing 10 minutes ago?
Well, we must be in the right place. It's a God incident, right?
Huh? But she didn't come.
Well, here's a name that I hope that you will aspire to. It was put on me a while back, and at first I was a little disgruntled to hear it, but then I thought about it and said, yeah, I like that handle. I was called a troublemaker extraordinaire. Yeah, okay, at first of all, what, me, a troublemaker? Yes, I am a troublemaker. But the trouble I get into is good trouble. The trouble you get into is good trouble. Let us be troublemakers extraordinaire. Be blessed and not stressed. These life trials are just tests for the glory of God to weed out the best. And I want to tell you something. You are the best crop that I've seen up here in 20 years. So the Lord obviously is doing that. Thomas Paine again said, I love the man that can smile in trouble, that can gather strength from distress, and grow brave by reflection. Yeah. One of the things that I see happen here very frequently is letting the enemy set the agenda. Do not let the enemy set the agenda. Let the Lord set the agenda. I have seen miracles happen in this place many, many years ago. We used to gather for prayer down in an office where Dave Wheeler, when he was in the house, in his office, and he shared an office with Representative Peterson and a few other people. And there was a hearing concerning parental rights or whatever. Eleanor Pottles and Dr. Squires, actually. So, no, I guess David must have been in the Senate then because they were senators. And yeah, Burke Cohen and Beverly Hollingsworth. And this was a bad bill. I mean, bad bill. So we got together and we were praying. And I just had this thought from Scripture and I read it. And I believe it was from the 14th chapter of Proverbs or something. And I read it and everybody looked at us and said, well, what does it mean? I said, well, I'm not exactly sure, but I think we're about to find out. The hearing was next door. Now, they had changed the hearing room, they had changed the hearing time, you know, hoping that we who were gathering to stand against it would get all messed up. You've experienced that, haven't you? You know, the little strategies. Well, because we were right next door praying, and somebody told us what was happening, we just opened the door and went in and sat down there, and boy, that was something. And I had never seen anything like this quite happen. Where everybody's, I mean, it's on a roll. And Dr. Squires shakes his head and he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm a scientist. I'm a doctor. This is bad legislation. It's junk science and I won't be part of it. And he looks at Eleanor Pottles. And Eleanor looks at him and says, I'm withdrawing this bill right now. She was the sponsor of the bill. She was the chairman of the committee. Well, Beverly Hollingsworth and her cohort, Burt Cohen, they were so angry. They jumped up and they looked at us and whatever. And on the way out, I mean, I was just sitting there and I wasn't gloating. I really wasn't. I was thankful, but I wasn't gloating. And they pointed to me, you did this, you did this. And I said, oh no, this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our sight. It was a miraculous thing. And I am expecting more of that to happen. And I close with this before we pray. And I brought something with me today to give you to encourage you. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Posterity. You will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. Now, I don't know about you, but I read those words from John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, And I want to tell you something. He knew what he was talking about. He didn't have a whole lot of good quality time with his dad, John Adams. And as a young man himself was sent away to the continent and then became an ambassador to Russia and so forth and so on, that man sacrificed a lot. And every day I think about the sacrifices of my own people that I'm descended from who fought in that war, and people like John Quincy Adams, and say, okay, what am I doing as their posterity? What am I doing with it? And I believe that that's an exhortation to us all. Perhaps before we pray individually, and I have been reporting this only because I've been exhorted by many people, gee, I wasn't able to be there, I'd sure like to be able to hear what you said or whatever, but I'm going to shut it off while we pray, or pause it while we pray. But I want to pray, or I want to read George Washington's daily prayer. Somebody told me last night they didn't like George Washington. I have to say, I had to ask the Lord to help me, because I got pretty upset. You don't like George Washington? Why? And the guy told me, and I thought it was pretty lame, but listen to this prayer. We make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity and humility and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without whom we can expect to do nothing. A humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So what I would like to do, I ask people around the country to pray for each of you. And when I say each of you, those that I know who call upon the Lord and as legislators. And I have distributed, this is a donation made by a dear Christian brother out in Nevada. This is an expensive medallion that actually has a visual of the armor of God. And I appreciate what you said about faith. Faith without substance, faith without works is dead. Obviously, works without faith is dead too. So we need to add something to our prayers. But on the back is actually the wording from Ephesians chapter 6 about spiritual warfare. So if we could somehow come together, I can hand these to you. I suppose I could just slide them down. But maybe we could just come right over here. And Dan, if you would be so good as to take a picture of us when we all have them there, send it to the benefactor. He will appreciate that. It is kind of heavy, and you can drill a little hole in it, as I have myself.
Let's have it on.
Like this, and keep it in my pocket. It's really a good reminder anytime you're sitting there and things are not looking so good, you can be reminded of that.
And can you guys move to that corner of the windows watching the windows freak?
Yeah, we'll go back in that corner over there. Yeah, it did. Actually, it was a mint. The mint's name is on there that does that. And I thought how gifted that was. And when we found that, and I said to my friend, because he had given me one, I said, wouldn't I like to have that? Wouldn't I like to have that to give to all the statesmen in New Hampshire up there?
Excellent. You guys should be dressed a little better. This is summer.
Take a few.
One, two, three, smile. Liberty!
Liberty.
There you go.
That's right.
Dan, should I take one, and that way you could be in the picture as well?
Yeah, okay.
Why don't we do that?
Take your pink jacket here and there.
Get in there between JR and the pastor. The pink breaks up the wall. 3, 2, 1.
God, I wonder how many of you know the fourth stanza to America, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Our Father's God to thee, honor of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright, with freedom's holy light. Protect us, high and high, great God our King.
Thank you that we can come together, and we pray that in the future that we will have spontaneous prayers in different places throughout the capital area for one another in groups and whatever, and we will continue to see your hand of protection, your hand of mercy, your hand of grace, and yes, as Paul has said, even the hand of judgment, moving things the way that you want. For your name's sake, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I also want to give everybody just a card, my card. And if any time you want to talk or want to have individual prayer or whatever else,
no,
call me.
Pastor Gary.
Oh, it's Pastor Gary. Yes,
not that I'm hard to find anyway, but it helps when you. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Would you email me your contact so I can set that up?
Yeah.
You probably do.
You have the one with my picture on it in the Patriots pastor uniform.
Yes, I think I got that one.
Oh, okay.
Come
around.
Because they were in Texas.